Welcome to the KZYX News. I'm Sherry Quinn. Crafting the future of medical cannabis farming in Mendocino County is a meticulous process. The Board of Supervisors are working with multiple agencies and groups, including the Department of Agriculture, State Parks, Deer Hunting Advocates, and Marijuana Growers Associations, in drafting a plan across a landscape that is wild and both rural and urban, an environment rich with timber, organic produce farms, and cattle ranches. The main task is working it out so everyone gets along. At the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, January 24, with Supervisor Dan Hamburg recusing himself, Agricultural Commissioner Chuck Morse, who is retiring from his position this week, presented some proposed changes to the county's draft medical cannabis ordinance. One of them is a 1,000-foot setback from state parks for cannabis cultivation parcels, and it has raised a lot of concern among the farmers. The board also received public comments on the plan, and many local cannabis farmers showed up to speak out. Casey O'Neill, a local farmer and vice chair for the California Growers Association, has been an outspoken representative for the cannabis community.
There's a lot of state park land in this county, and a lot of it's very rural. There's a lot of cultivation parcels that border state parks. I think it's important that we strike a balance here. I've heard from a number of the members of the organization who have said that, you know, their parcel does border state park. Perhaps looking at, you know, if there's a staffed public entrance that we might say 1,000 feet from that, if, you know, it's one of the places where the public comes into the state park at the, you know, and there's a rangers and such like that, maybe 1,000 foot from there would make sense. But a blanket 1,000 foot setback from state parks is going to take a whole lot of parcels that would otherwise totally fit out of the equation. You know, I say it every time, and I just want to stress again, provisional licenses are very, very important. Humboldt did a program in which they said, if you turned in your application, you sign an affidavit that says you're going to follow all the state laws, you can cultivate while we process the applications. I think they have 2,300 applications in. They've processed, I think, 12 or 14 or something like that. So it's likely to, there's a chance that this could be a really slow process, especially given the number of things that have been added into the process. And so if we, if this is not a very streamlined process and there isn't some sort of provisionals, I think there's a tremendous chance that the program is not going to work. Touching on that, streamlining the process, you know, some of the mitigations that were suggested are kind of onerous. I think the county staff has the ability with the Ag Department and inspections to handle a lot of those things that have been suggested would be part of other agency check-in, CDFW, CAL FIRE, air quality. The prior proof of cultivation remains an issue that needs to be sorted out. You know, we don't want farmers to have to self-incriminate, especially given the change in federal administrations. We're not sure what's going to be happening from there, and we definitely want to be able to protect our farmers as much as possible. Cottage license costs, you know, I would like to respectfully suggest that perhaps we might be able to waive the inspection fee if there's not a complaint for, you know, that we would avoid inspections for cottage cultivation. Another option is to waive the taxes required for cottage cultivators. This is something that we're looking at as an association at the state level, trying to lower the burden of compliance costs for the smallest farmers, because they're already on the bubble. There's a lot of people who are looking at it and saying, this is going to cost more than I can, more than my business is worth. Some sort of mechanism for setback waivers or appeals. You know, we're looking at the small parcel cultivations and trying to figure out how these zoning overlays will work. I've heard from people in South Leggett. I've heard from people in Laytonville, as well as a number of other neighborhoods around the county. And I am out of time. Thank you.
Provisional licenses for cultivation, distribution, and transportation, and the track and trace program, where state and law enforcement officials can follow a marijuana plant from a seed to the packaged product at a dispensary, were among many concerns raised by farmers. Ashley Oldham echoed several issues shared by cultivators.
Why it's so important to us is not only will we have to have county licenses in order to have state ones in 2018, but most of us can't afford to take a year off, and we want to be compliant. We want to participate. We don't want to be viewed as criminals. We have families. We have mortgages. We have bills. All of these fees and taxes and the amount of money that we have to put into redoing our operation and bringing it up to compliance is substantial. I think there's a major general misconception that people have about cannabis farmers and how much money we make. But I can speak for myself, and I'm sure of plenty of other people in the room, that not all of us have stacks of cash buried in the woods. Like, we're living harvest to harvest. We're not, you know, we're supporting families. We're doing everything that all of you guys are doing. And to ask us to take a year off might make it so that we can't continue and we won't have the money to stay compliant. And so I'm asking you to please not make us choose between compliance and survival. I want the program to work and I want to participate, but I also have to live and I have to feed my family.
Hi, my name is Alan Harris. I want to thank you for all your hard work. I've lived in the Mendocino Coast for 14 years. I'm married and I have 3 children. I'm a licensed building contractor and I've been cultivating cannabis indoors for 14 years. And I own property in Fort Bragg, where I have my small farm and I'm raising my family. And there are a few issues I'd like to address. There have been a lot of concerned residents in Mendocino County that do not like living next to cannabis production. And I want to make the board aware that not all cannabis production is negatively affecting neighborhoods. I'm on a first name basis with all my neighbors, and it's my understanding that they approve of my activities. I think you understand the potential clash that can occur between cultivators and concerned neighborhood groups. And you guys have included the need for conditional use permits to remedy those conflicts. I also agree that the cultivators need a provisional permit program until we get the Ag Department up to speed. Investing in a cannabis production facility is already risky given the unstable future value of cannabis. And it's imperative that we're not subjected to law enforcement raids while trying to build our brands and public image. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Scott Willoughby, president of the board of directors of Mendocino Wine Growers, said they are curious about the outcome of this ordinance.
The winery industry here in Mendocino County survives on tourism. We do well through our tasting rooms. We do well by brand recognition around other areas where our wines are distributed. But fundamentally, the big tie-in, or the tie-in to the cannabis industry that the wine business is analyzing and looking very closely at is what's the nature of tourism. And quite frankly, there is no crossover because both are federally regulated and some much harsher than others in terms of alcohol and cannabis. However, in other states, Washington and Colorado, for example, both industries, the craft beer industry and the cannabis industry, and the wine industry and the cannabis industries have benefited greatly from the tourism. Common example, somebody comes to look for cannabis or to enjoy cannabis in our county or to purchase it or talk to farmers, and at the same time they may enjoy some wine. We think that's an advantage to our industry that helps both. Time is of the essence.
At the end of this part of the meeting, the Board of Supervisors made some changes to the ordinance, including allowing already existing small-scale cannabis grows in residential zones, and the county's Department of Agriculture will issue permits to cultivation sites that do not exceed maximum sizes, have existed before January 1, 2016, and have complied with the requirements of 9.31, the urgency ordinance. The board also directed staff to clarify the word parks in a clause in the ordinance that refers to parks in residential areas. Growers said it could be confused with wilderness parks, and that would restrict them from available cultivation land. The next Board of Supervisors meeting is scheduled for February 7, where they will consider revisions to the ordinance made by the Planning Commission. For KZYX News, I'm Sherry Quinn.